that's the thing you got to believe, is believe that he's with you. Even when you don't see him, even when you don't feel him, even when you don't hear him, he is here. And you know what? That's a wonderful feeling to know that God is with you. We're so blessed. You think about so many people that serve a false god, an idol, or something that they have that they literally dedicate themselves to, but that thing can never do anything for them. It can never do anything. But I think it's important we remember that we serve a God that can and wants to do something for you. It's a God that wants to be with his children. I believe God gets excited at church time. How many believe that? I believe God gets excited when it's time for us to meet. It's like when Brother Richard had his daughter coming from, I don't remember where she come down. He was excited. He was excited they were going to come down because she was going to come down. His child was going to come visit with him. He was excited, and they went fishing. And I don't think they caught anything, but they had a good time. They had a good time, right, brother? Because you know what? He's a father, and he loves his daughter, and God loves his children. And I think it's so important we remember that. God loves us. God cares about us. I want to speak to you on a simple thought tonight, but I think it's a thought from the Lord, so I believe it'll be good for us. It is the Word. Be confident in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. And we're going to go to Scripture, Psalms chapter 62, verses 7 and 8, and she'll have these on the multimedia, I believe. She's hard at it. She's at her post of duty, so God bless you for that. That's wonderful. Psalm 62, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We ask you to bless the reading of the word, Lord. Bless this service, God. And may we all be able to have an ear to hear this evening of what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, there is strength in praise. And when you feel like all your strength is gone, praise the Lord. And that sounds absolutely contrary sometimes whenever you feel beat down sometimes, or sometimes you feel tired, you feel like you don't have any energy, you don't feel like you have anything, during those times, praise the Lord. In the times whenever it looks like things are going wrong, nothing can go right, all those things, in those times, praise the Lord. Because the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our rock. And that, what that is because rock, the prophet talks about a rock is a revelation. It's because God's the one that's going to put us on top of these things. So when you need healing, praise the Lord. When we need finances, praise the Lord. If you got sickness that comes in your body, praise the Lord. You know, because whenever you create praise, when you praise the Lord, what are you doing? You're actually creating an atmosphere. You know, you look at these astronauts, when they go out of space, they got a space suit, they've got a big old thing around their head, and when they breathe, it makes that weird noise. Because if they didn't have that in that atmosphere out in space, they would die. They would perish. Because they cannot live in that situation. They cannot live in outer space. So what did man do? He created an atmosphere for himself. He created a suit that he could put on. He put a cylinder on top of his head that puts oxygen inside of him. He's creating an atmosphere. And it's very important that he does that, because if he does not have that atmosphere, he will die. He will perish. And we live in a world right now where you will perish if you don't create an atmosphere. We live in a world where you will fall into whatever temptation, whatever everybody else is caught into. You will catch up in those same things if you don't create an atmosphere. But thank God we can create an atmosphere. I mean, you can chase devils. Amen. God inhabits the praise of his people, and praise changes atmosphere. And praise isn't just by shouting with your lips of saying hallelujah, hallelujah, though that does help to praise to do it. But you know, our praise is the way we talk, the way we conduct ourselves. When we talk about things, what we say, it produces an atmosphere. How many like to go camping? Well, a couple of us. Brother Richard says, I don't think so, brother. I've had my share of that, thank you. But when you go camping, I remember when me and my brothers, we'd sit around the campfire and we'd have the wood and the fire, and you'd hear the crickets and you'd hear all these things, and we'd be right beside the creek going beside us, and we would sit there and we were brave, we were fine, we were country boys, we were okay.
Not a fear at all. But all of a sudden, we kept sitting there, and one of my oldest brother got the great idea, let's tell scary stories. And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, I began to tell scary stories. And then all of a sudden, the crickets that we heard while ago, we knew that was a cricket. While ago, we heard the creek, we knew that was the creek. When we heard the wind blow, we knew that was the wind, because that's what we saw. But we put ourselves in an atmosphere to where now we were listening to the stories, and then everything we heard, we're like, oh my gosh, I heard that. It was stumbling, and it was going through. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting afraid. And you, being with brothers, you cannot let yourself be known to be afraid. Right. We're like, and it's your time to go check the fire. Because, you know, that way if you're going out there and it attacks them, you can run. You know, I always say if a bear attacks, you just got to be the fastest one, you know. But we were late and we were afraid, we were worried, and we kept hearing this stomping and tromping and going through there. And I'm telling you what, it got scarier and scarier and scarier and scarier, because we had sucked ourselves into this atmosphere of fear. And as we were sitting here, we kept hearing again. Before the atmosphere, we knew what those things were. But because we fall inside this, we were chasing shadows. And the next thing you knew, there were lions in Panama, Oklahoma. There were dragons. There were all kinds of things in Panama, Oklahoma. We knew. We could hear them. We could hear the fire coming out of their nostrils. We were sitting in the tent. We heard these things. And next thing we knew, it came up. And me and my brothers were laying there, and we were trying to all be brave. We were talking like, I'm not scared. Your brother talked about the man that's whistling in the graveyard. He's whistling because he's scared. Yeah. If you ever hear somebody that keeps saying, I'm not scared. Yeah, you are. You just don't hope you're scared. We kept laying there and said, I ain't nothing. We kept hearing it. Steps getting a little closer. And like, I'm going to open the tent door. I reached over and I grabbed the tent. And this horse stuck its head inside the tent. And we're like, we screamed like a bunch of girls. And then we were like, oh my gosh, we were scared of a horse. We have horses. We ride horses every day. But see, we allowed ourselves to fall into the atmosphere of fear rather than creating an atmosphere of faith. To where I know what that is. We should not chase shadows. I got a buddy of mine at my work, and he hears this on the tape. Brother, I'm sorry. This goes with the service. He had done an app on a phone. He was going to pay for something through a phone, and he sent it to the wrong cash app. He sent it to the wrong person, and he just scared to death. He's talking about this, talking about that. I said, brother, just cancel it from the bank. It should be fine with that. And he kept worried and fretting. I said, but you are chasing shadows. You accidentally sent the app the wrong place. Next thing you know, you're bankrupt. They're going to take all your money. More than just the cash app. He was creating an atmosphere of fear. And brothers and sisters, we are not called to live in fear. We are called to have faith, love, and a sound mind. Though this world is going crazy, we can know who we are because we have a message. Whenever we see these things happen, we know that's the cricket. We know that is this. We know that's that. We know this is this. These are things that are supposed to happen because we have a message. Amen? Amen. So we want to make sure that we create an atmosphere of faith. And we're talking about be confident in the Lord. How many believes that God started your walk? God started your walk. How many believes God will finish it? I believe. I defy the laws of gravity, and I testify God started my walk. God's going to finish my walk. So I'm not going to allow the enemy to suck me into a atmosphere of fear where I doubt myself. But you want someone that has confidence in who they are, confidence in their position, confidence in their, you know, because if you take a king that doubts his position, he will not walk like a king. But if you take if he walks like a pauper and acts like a pauper, everybody in his kingdom will act like a pauper. But if you take that same king that has confidence in who he is, confidence in where he's going, confidence in the Lord, he will present himself with confidence. And the people around him will acknowledge that's a man of confidence. We are not supposed to be the tail, we are supposed to be the head where we can lead. Then we're talking about the budget here. Without a budget, you wonder where in the world your money went. But with a budget, you tell your money where to go. I'm not asking my money where it wants to go. You are going here. Because when you do that, you are in what? Control. Amen. How many likes to be in control? I like to be in control. How many likes to not be in control? Me and my brothers, talk about my brothers. We had some, I remember, Dad showed up. We were very poor, but we didn't know it. We didn't know any better. We were very happy. But Dad come up one time with a bunch of old bicycles. Mine was a black one, had a big old banana seat on it, had flames all over it, and that meant it goes faster. You ask any kid, he'll tell you that. It's a rule. I mean, it's a law. You know, certain shoes make you run faster. A bike with flames on it, it just goes faster. You just believe it. Well, Dad showed up with his bicycles, and me and my brothers wanted to piece them together, and we wanted to change out the handlebars. I wanted to take my handlebars off because it was just the straight ones, and I wanted those big old long suicide handlebars. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Richard? Big old long ones. So it looked like a chopper. And I'm going, and remind you, we're way out in the country going down the hill, and we are the coolest guys that you could ever see with a chopper, black bicycle with a banana seat. Well, little did I know, a very important aspect of doing that bicycle is you need to tighten it up. So I'm on top of this hill, and my brother's way on the bottom, and we're going to race toward each other, and we're going to go right beside each other. Well, I'm going down the hill as quick as I can, and little do I know, my steering wheel goes like this, but my wheels go like this. And I'm going as quick as I possibly can, and then rather than going beside my brother, I hit my brother. And we hit dead on. I lost control. And there's nothing worse than feeling like you're out of control. When you feel like you've lost the wheel. I've got the bicycle handles in my hand, and I'm trying to turn it, but I'm not going in a direction. If you're hydroplaning in a vehicle, and you're going, you're turning your steering wheel for your car to go this way. Hydroplaning is when you turn this way, but you keep going this way. You lose control. And there's nothing more fearful than to feel like you have lost control. Amen? I remember I put too much load on the back of my truck, on my half-ton truck, my 05 model. I put a skid steer on the back of this truck full of zeal, full of ambition, but not a lick of common sense. I put all this weight on the back of my truck, and my poor truck is pointed just about like that. And I'm going over the Van Buren Bridge, and I'm throwing. The philosophy had always been, if it'll pull it, you do it. Well, once I've learned how to deal with trucks, anytime I'll talk to a customer, I said, the most important thing, and I know this about Revelation, the most important thing is not can it pull it, can it stop it? You know, when someone gets on a motorcycle, they want to see how fast they can go. I want to know how fast I can stop this motorcycle. I got all this load on the back of my truck, and I'm going over the Van Buren Bridge, and I'm like, oh, this is easy, no problem. Just watch what I do. Common sense. We got this. Going down the road, and I see someone way down the road, and I tap on the brakes, and nothing happens. Tap on the brakes, nothing happens. Push on the brakes, nothing happens. Slam on the brakes, nothing happens. I lost. As I was going through there, I saw that car in front of me, and I started saying, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And by the grace of God, that truck started slowing down automatically, and I didn't hit the people in front of me. I got that thing to where I was going, and I called and said, how much for you to come pick this thing up when we're done? I lost control. And those things are funny. Those things can be hilarious. In life, it's not so funny when you feel like you have lost control. Whenever, literally 5 seconds ago, I knew where I was going. 5 seconds ago, I knew I was confident. But in just a split second, you have lost the will and you don't know what in the world to do. It's in those times, and more than ever, be confident in the Lord. During those times, more than ever, be confident in who's leading you. And during those times, be confident in who has control of your life. I want to go to, first of all, bring another thing is, whenever you create that atmosphere that we're talking about, you actually cast out spirits away from you. How many know spirits is actually what gets on a person? You see a person that's drinking, you know why he's doing that? He's got a spirit on him. You see someone that lies all the time, you know why they do that? There's a spirit on him.
See, spirit is what causes people to do those things. You know, it was a spirit that caused Saul to hate David. It was a spirit that came upon him. And a spirit will cause you to act in the way you do. And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 22. It says, "And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it come to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Music is a weapon. A person can be set free by music. I want you to remember this. Whenever you were in the moments, I'm talking about when you were in the trenches, whenever you are in that part, that moment, when you feel like you have lost control, music is a weapon. When you can meditate in Psalms, and you can meditate, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'd be down, I don't know what to do. Music. You can begin to utter the music. Start from your heart and start utter the music outside your mouth and start singing a little song, and you start feeling that little wind of fire coming around you. And all of a sudden, you realize that was a spirit of fear that was trying to come upon me. And we are not supposed to live in a spirit of fear. You take a person that lives in fear, and you're going to look at a tormented person because they won't know who they are. They're afraid of everything going to happen. They're afraid you're not going to have money for the bills. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid this is going to happen. You fret about everything. We are not supposed to worry. Be confident in the Lord. Be confident that it's not you in the first place. It's God. It's God that's going to do these things for you. You can be free from that spirit, but it's up to you on what you do after that spirit leaves you, because that spirit will come back. Count on it. You got a dog that comes, a stray dog that comes to the house, you give him a little bit of scraps, you just bought yourself a dog, because that dog will keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. You can shoo him off, but if you're putting food in a certain place, that dog will come back. And you can take it. Before everyone got here, I'm glad nobody was here, because I was doing Kung Fu Ninja in the back. I was chasing waspers and everything else. I was swinging at them, and I got two of them. If there's any around, we'll deal with them later. We did a put spider webs, wiping the spider webs. You know, I can clean those spider webs, but if I don't kill that spider, he will be back. He will bring those spider webs back. And I'm talking about fear that can try to come over you as a believer. You got to kill that thing. You got to kill the spider. Brother Ben talked about when the tiger's in front of him, he's clawing at you. Don't just cut his paws off, because he'll go to another paw. But you knock him in the head. And when you knock him in the head, you kill him. You kill him dead. You got to kill the spider to where you don't have that spirit of fear that comes on people. Trust me, I know what it's like to be fearful. You seen a car lot lately? Driving to Texas, almost every car lot, almost empty. No cars whatsoever. Looking on the order sheet, looking on fear. Talk about fear, how fear can come on a person. And trust me, it's not just out there. It's right up here too. Looking at on the order sheet, I've seen, Daniel, we have no cars coming in at all for the next 3 months. Well, guess what? If you don't have it, you can't sell it. Fear. That devil will try to put fear, fear, fear. And that devil will try to put it on my mind, and you're fixing to buy a house? And you have no car, there's no worse time in the world to buy right now. The devil. Pounding mind. Devil, pound your mind. Devil, pound your mind. Trust me, I'm not talking about something I'm not. The devil, pound your mind. Pound your mind. I'm just going to give a little testimony. Here a few weeks ago, I was looking at these things coming on. I'm looking at the storm coming on that I see coming. And in myself, I literally stood up out of my chair to go outside to call my wife and say, I'm sorry, we're not going to this house. Sorry. I know we waited 19 years for this. We're not going to do it. I just see the circumstances. And as I stood up, and I felt the Lord rebuke me very sharply and said, stop depending on your arm of flesh and rest on me. Yeah. And spankings don't feel good. I'm going to tell you what, I felt like I got my hind end whipped really good, and I needed that. Because I was looking at the arm of flesh. I was looking at what I can do in myself, and had no cars out there. Had like nothing.
and then one after another, Lord, bring me a customer. Bring me a customer. Alabama, Florida. If I don't have them here, the Lord knows where they are. He'll get them way out there. And I showed to show you this. Don't limit how big God is. Don't limit how big God is whenever you've got a storm coming your way. Don't look at the storm. Look at God. Look how big my God is. You see the muscles on him? That ain't nothing compared to my dad. You boys remember that. They say, yeah, right, Dad. Like maybe one time long ago. long ago. Don't look at the muscles of the fear of the enemy. Look at, have confidence. I know in whom I believe. I know I'm not the one that's making my needs. I'm not the one that got me this far. I'm not the one. Because if it was me, brothers, I would have quit a long time ago. I mean, somebody say that. Yeah, I would have quit a long time ago. But God's the one doing this. It is not you that put it together. It was God. But we can create an atmosphere of faith. But we got to kill that spider. Jesus talks about this. He says, when an unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And I want to try to really develop the thought right here, what we're trying to say. So I want you to try to pay attention to school. I know everyone's kind of tired tonight, but try to listen to it if you can. But Grimm says, anybody ever here kill a deer or a cow or anything like that? Sure, all right. You weigh it tonight, you hunters out there, friends of mine. You kill the deer and you throw him on the scale. Tell the boys how much he weighs. Watch out. In the morning, he's going to be several pounds lighter than he was. When a human being dies, the undertaker, the first thing takes the false teeth or an eye, whatever it is in there, takes it out because it shrinks. It'll push out because the human body shrinks. Every other flesh shrinks. When the life's gone out of the cell, it begins to move down and shrink. It'll do that for about 72 hours, and then it'll start swelling. You let a dog get run over out there on the road, let him lay there in the sun about 3 days. Watch what happens. He's a bigger dog than he ever was. He swells up. Is that right? Well, that's the same thing takes place when a demon is cast out of a sick person. The first few days, oh, I feel wonderful. Then begin to say, I'm sicker than I ever was. I've lost my healing. Just as sure as faith took it out, unbelief brings it right back again. As faith kills it, unbelief resurrects it. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places and he returns back with seven other devils. And if the good man of the house isn't standing there to protect that door, he'll come right back, right on in. And this is what he says. And the good man of your house is your faith. Say, stay away. That's it. Now, you watch a patient that's healed and ordinary, unless it's an outstanding miracle, which divine healing and miracle is two different things. Divine healing is one thing and a miracle is another. But an ordinary run of divine healing, when the unclean spirit's cast out, a cancer devil, when it leaves the person, the cataract. What happens when that man, if you'll notice, a blind person, I don't know whether I had any here or not, cataract eyes, I'll let them stand for a few minutes. Why? So that shrinkage begins to take place. Tell them to come back. Give us a testimony. Oh my, they can see wonderful. How? Oh my, I can see things. Yes, I can see. What's the matter? Life is gone out. The body of the cataract is shrinking. Well, it will do that a couple of days. Say, oh, I'm so well. And after a while, they begin to get a headache. Don't feel so good. Get up the next morning, I'm losing my sight again. Some of them said, he just was worked up. That bunch of holy rollers got you worked up.
Don't you believe that? That's a lie of the devil. If you believe that, you'll go right back blind again. But if you'll just hold on, say, no, Lord, I believe. Then what happens? That body swells for so long it covers over that side again. That cancer in the body will swell. You'll become hurting and aching again. Then you'll get horribly sick, terribly sick. Why? That big growth of dead flesh in you is laying there dead. You go back to the doctor, and he'll say, oh, that's nonsense. There's a cancer right there. I can see it. But it's there, but it's dead. Hallelujah. Now, the bloodstream has to purify the body. Every time the heart pumps, it throws the blood around the body, and it picks up that infection. Sure, it'll make you sick. But if you had a chunk of meat hanging in you somewhere, as long as a snake or something big around as your finger and hanging in there, and it was dead, that much dead meat hanging in you, it's rottening. Well, of course your bloodstream has to keep that pure as it pumps through, but there's a dead body, the thing hanging there, because the life is gone from it. The power of God through faith drove it out. He's a demon. He has to leave. We're talking about somebody that was absolutely healed. They could see. The person that had a cancer, it was dead. And for a while, they had confidence in it. And for a while, they were confident. Praise God. God healed me. God healed my eyes. Praise God. God healed me of the cancer. Let me say it this way. Praise God. God delivered me of the depression. Praise God, God delivered me of the anxiety. Praise God, God delivered me of the temptation. God delivered me from the anger. God delivered me from the... And you can fill in your own blank of what your enemy can be. And what can happen is, praise God, for a moment you feel the victory. For a moment you see the victory. But if you ain't careful, that devil will try to come back again and try to put that same feeling again of doubt. To try to cause you to fall into that atmosphere of fear. To where, you know what? Whenever you get sick and you got COVID, you can't breathe. And the ministers laid their hands on you and they prayed for you. And you know, praise God, I'm healed. In that moment, what happens is you fall out of that atmosphere of faith. And you fall into an atmosphere of doubt. It is easier to live in doubt than it is in faith. How many knows that's right? Anybody can walk in doubt. It's easy. It's really easy whenever you go pray and you want that touch from the Lord where the minister lay their hand on and you feel that warm oil. I have actually felt warm oil on me before and been healed that way. I've also been healed where I didn't feel a single thing. But whether you feel the oil or you don't, it has nothing to do with it. Did God heal you? Is it according to His word? Is it? And I'm saying this because you will have a mountain that will come before you, brother, sister, sometimes. And this mountain, you don't know what to do because you've got a mountain in front of you. What do you do with this mountain? What do you do whenever I've got a bill that's due and I don't have the money for it? I don't know what to do. It's during those times you've got to put your trust in the one that got you to where you are in the first place. When you want your family to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I'm at a mountain. I don't see anything happen. I'm at a mountain. I don't see anything happen. It's real easy to fall into that doubt. Toward, you know what? Maybe I never had anything in the first place. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was just worked up. That's what the devil wants you to think. But what will the word tell you? What does the word say? Who is it that got you to where you are now? Is it you or was it God? We've got to have confidence in who we have believed. We've got to have confidence. Have confidence in God. I'm fixing to get to a scripture that I'm really wanting to bring forth. Let's go to one scripture in Psalms chapter 21, verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. A king must be confident in the Lord. Not confident in his riches, not confident in all of his men that he has, not confident in those things. There's one thing that king must have his confidence in, and that is God is with me. God is here.
Jesus is here. That's why I love that song, He is Here, because in the midst of a trial, brothers and sisters, whenever you can't see nothing outside the winds, sometimes you, let's mark my words, you will come through a time where you're going to have to utter through the words, He is here. Hallelujah, He is here. I don't see Him, I don't feel Him, I know, I have every reason to believe God's not here. But I know He's here because His word says He's here. And whenever you begin to create that map, He is here. Hallelujah. Praise God, He's here. Think of it. This king that's in a situation, he's in a position over his kingdom where the enemies are going to try to come and attack. He cannot put his confidence in his men. He cannot put his confidence in his riches because they will fail him. But when you put his confidence in the Lord, no matter what enemy comes at him, he will overcome that enemy. And brothers and sisters, we are that king. We are, God has made us kings and priests to the Lord our God. But we must put our confidence not in our flesh, not in our abilities, not in our ways to provide, but in God's way. He says, I am with you. Because you could be the person that gets the call. You've got 3 weeks to live. You could be the person that gets the call. There's nothing else I can do. We've done everything that we can do. You can get the call. And in that moment, you cannot look to your men. You cannot look to your riches. You have got one thing you can look at. My strength is in the Lord. Amen. And He will put me on the rock. And He will keep me protected during this time. Not because I feel it, not because I see it. And just as I said in a couple of services ago, if God wants us to walk through this wall, it will look impossible. But if the word says for Him to do it, when you get there, that hole will be there. We live in an age right now where we are talking about the greatest thing that's going to happen that all of the saints down through the ages have all been looking to, and that is a body change. And has there ever been a day when it looks more impossible than now? For a person in the midst, in a world when there's absolutely no faith. In a world where all the leadership is pointed in every different direction except the word. You go to a school, to public schools, the leaderships, it's the teachers that are sleeping with the students. Is that right? You go to the hospitals. The people that are supposed to be the leaders protecting the people, they're taking sellouts and bribes and different things rather than helping the people. It's an age when all the leadership, rather than helping the people, they're serving themselves. Because they're rather than focus on their post of duty, they're not looking at the right thing. It's an age where there is no faith. Because when a person has faith, that's what makes a person live the way they do. It is your faith. It's a person that has it. You say, I don't have faith, but why do you live the way you do? Why is it during certain times you say, no, I'm not doing that stuff. I'm not doing that. Is that you or is that faith inside you? A lot of times a person thinks they don't have faith, but you do. And then you get other reasons. People think they have faith, and they don't. That's the hardest thing about it. That's the most confusing today. One person will think they're saved and full of the Holy Ghost, but they ain't got it. The other person will think, I ain't got it. I ain't got it. And they got it. There has to be a way that we know. Do I got it? I got that. Brother James Prater and the Norrod sang a song, I Got It. I wish I could sing. I'd sing it. I don't know what I got, but I got it, or something like that. I don't know what I've got a hold of, but I got it. Benjamin Franklin had the cop going up in the air. And he starts shouting, oh, praise God, I got it. I got it, I got it, I got it. Somebody walked over, what do you got, Benny? What do you got? And he said, I don't know, but I got it. How do you know you got it? Because I feel it pulling me. I look up there and I don't see anything up there. What do you mean, Benny? Benjamin. What do you mean you got something? I got something. I don't see anything up there. I got it. It's pulling me. And I'm here to tell you, other people may not see it, but you feel it inside your heart. I got it. I may not be able to explain it exactly. I may not have the words to explain it, but I got it. I know I got it. It's not that you can explain this message with your words of explaining everything. It's not that. It's something inside here. Do you got it? You can talk to a young couple.
Are you sure you love him? Are you sure?
I didn't say you. I'm just talking to everybody. She said, uh-huh. Do you love him? Can you explain to me? Explain to me. I can't explain it. It's something, but I know I got it. I can't explain it, but I know I got it. There's something inside me that makes me. I can't explain it. Go buy me a cup of love. I want you to take all the money that you've got. I talk to some of the richest men you'll ever see. I sell them vehicles, and sometimes I don't, but most of the time I can sell them a vehicle. I'll sell them the vehicle, and I can tell you about 98% of the people I sell that are rich are not happy. They've been married, no joke, 5, 6, 7 times. Rich. When I say rich, I'm talking millionaires. Guys that can literally go out and buy anything they want, be married 5 and 6 times and looking at a divorce now. They're not, because money's not it. But you can take the poor guy that's got Susie that absolutely loves him, and he loves Susie. And he didn't go buy that. It was something God put inside them. God put a love inside their heart where that man will love that woman and that woman will love that man. And try to get her to explain that. Explain to me. Get a young... If the Lord decides to move a mountain, and I'm talking a big, big mountain. I'm talking gigantic mountain. And give me a revelation that this is the one to be your son-in-law. And it would have to be a big mountain. It'd have to be big. Big. But if the Lord gave that revelation, big. If the Lord gave that revelation and said, this is the one. And my daughter was to say, Daddy, that's the one. I could go to her and say, explain to me. Explain to me why. Explain to me. You can't explain it. It'd be something that comes from inside you that you didn't put there. It's a love, a genuine love. Let me ask you something. Why do you love the Lord? Why are you here tonight? Explain to me. Explain to me why, when you don't feel good, you've slept all day because you didn't feel good, why would you come to church? It doesn't make sense. That's what the flesh will say. Why? Because there's something inside you. It's a love, but it's a love for God. Mm-hmm. It's a love that God put inside you. I can't explain why. It's a love. Yeah. And it's nothing you can buy. It's something that God gave. And whenever you take a young couple, and they're going through a trial, my wife and I, we went through a trial whenever we lost a baby through miscarriage. And I'm here to tell you, I've been through some trials. That was one of the hardest trials I'd ever been through, was through that time. And there was a coldness, a feeling of not angry toward one another, nothing like that. It was nothing like that. It made us love each other 10 times more in the midst of that trial. Why? Money, if what was holding us together was money, separated. In the midst of a trial, when we had our hog farm, I've done some doozies in leadership. I'm going to tell you something. As a headship, I've done some doozies. I got us inside of a hog farm to where we were bound 24/7 taking care of hogs. And you know what hogs smell like? They don't smell good. We were dealing with it over and over and over. And that wife stood right beside me, even though probably in her heart and her gut, she's thinking, this is the dumbest mistake he's ever done in his life. But she stood right beside me. Why? Because there was a love inside her. Explain to me. Why would you stay with him? Explain to me. What's the reasoning? It doesn't make sense. Why? But it's because a love was inside her. She said, I'll go with you no matter what. It was a love. And our confidence in that, brothers and sisters, our confidence is not in the money. Our confidence is not because the hog farm was successful. Our confidence was not because everything was going right. Our confidence was our love.
It is our love one for another. That's what held us together in the midst of that storm. So as when you're that king, your confidence cannot be in your riches, because your riches can pass away. You can be broke. Your confidence cannot be in your car. Your car can be gone. You'd be walking. Your confidence is one thing. I love the Lord. But Brother said, if God was to throw me in hell, I believe that I would still love him. Because it's a love. Many people serve the message for a while. Scripture says people, because they receive not the love of the truth, God would send strong delusion that they would believe a lie. They didn't receive the truth. They were grabbing the riches. They loved to win arguments. That's what most of the people do with the message. They win arguments with it. And because they did that, look at all the false doctrine they went down. Because they received not the love of the truth. And if that brother said, that's what I'm talking about. Be confident in the Lord. I am following the Lord. Listen to his words. I'm following the Lord because I love the Lord. Be confident. That is why I serve the Lord. What other reason would a man want a woman to love him? I love you because you're buying this new truck. Darling, Susie, I want you to explain to me, why are you wanting to marry Henry? Because Mama, he's buying a Challenger. I just got to. You think that's ridiculous? I see it all the time. Why? Because he did this. He's got a good job. That's why. The job could pass away. What then? It's got to be something inside you. I'm serving God because I love God. Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you act the way you do? Why do you do these things? Why do you make these sacrifices? Well, because if I don't, Brother Tony's going to bash me really good when he gets back. He's going to pull that gospel belt out. He's going to whip us good for not showing up to church on Wednesday night. He's going to get us good. That's not my confidence. A lot of people do that. People will go to church out of fear because they're afraid of what people will think about them. They're afraid of what that preacher will say to them because he will scold them so hard. That's not my motivation. That's not your motivation. Why do you go to church? Because I love the Lord. And God knows the very intents of your heart. God knows our heart. And God knows whenever you don't feel good. God knows when you're tired and honestly in yourself, in your flesh, I just don't feel like going to God. I'm just tired. I'm sick. Sickly or feel sickly. I feel this way. I feel that. The devil knows those things. And the Lord knows in your heart. But God, I'm going because I love you. And because I love you. And I'm going to show you something. If my wife made a tremendous sacrifice to come see me, and she didn't feel good, she was sick, and she was, I'm talking, she just, every sickness you can imagine, and she couldn't get her hair fixed exactly right, she didn't dress exactly right, she didn't do exactly right, but she made the sacrifice to be with me, to see me at my job. And I know she's sick, I know she don't feel good, I know she's fighting through those things. And she goes through me. And though her hair may not be exactly right, though the clothing may not be just right, though all these things may not be right, I don't even look at those things. The only thing I'm looking at is she had a desire to be with me even for just a few minutes. And that's more beautiful. And she had to persevere through all of this turmoil, all this trial, all these things to try to get to me. She had to persevere because her love. It was her love for me. She wanted to be with me. She wanted to interact with me. She wanted to have that fellowship with me, lip to ear. She wanted to see me for just a moment. So I'm not going to look at her flesh. I'm not going to look at her hair. I'm not going to look at her dress is, you know, wrinkled up or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? I'm not looking at those things because I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at the desire in her heart. From her heart, I want to be with you for just a few minutes. I want just a few minutes of your time. And I'm telling you, that I would get more out of that than if she would have had her whole hair fixed up and dressed. And she come and she was beautiful, but while she was with me, she wasn't with me. Does that make sense?
A woman can meet her husband and she can be dressed up, be dolled up, hair fixed, her clothing all perfect and everything, and show up, but she's with him, but she's not with him. The whole time she's there, she's distracted and looking at everything else. Whereas the husband's right here. I'm showing these things in the natural because in the spiritual, we want to find ourselves doing it the right way. When we come to church, though our hair may not be exactly right, though we may be sweaty, though we may be this, though we may be that, but from our heart, my desire, God, I want to be just in your presence for just a moment. And when you do that, the Lord will get a blessing from it. And this is what I want to get to. The woman's desire has got to be to please her husband, but the bride, I'm talking about the bride of Jesus Christ, you, me, our desire must be to please the Lord. Our focus must be to please the Lord. I want to be a pleasing to my Lord. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to be an offering of sacrifice. Whenever we do that, brothers and sisters, God's desire is, I want to be a blessing to her. I want to do that. And it's a mutual thing where the husband and wife are both, their reason of their sacrifice is because our love. It is a love. I'm telling you what, that in a family home, and in a husband and wife, it is a love. In a church, it is a love. Not because we're afraid Brother Tony's going to turn into mean Brother Tony. I don't know if I've ever seen mean Brother Tony. You know, he's always been a pretty gentle giant, you know, and he, big old burly guy, you know, strong as an ox. We were doing this drywall up there, and you want to know how bad out of shape you are? Hold drywall up over your head for a little while. Me and Brother Tony, we were up here, and we were just pushing, and I was holding for a little bit, and I was like, oh, brother, come on. And he was screwing those things in, and we pushed through, and we were kind of like one another. We're like, I ain't going to say I'm tired, and he ain't going to say he's tired. And we did that for about 3 minutes. That was enough. We said, all right, we just call a truce. We're both tired. Let's look into a drywall lift because we don't want to keep coming. Brother Tony was a genuine brother. And before we're fixing to close, I promise, but take these words from my heart, okay? Brother Tony is a gentle giant. That's what I call him. But though that brother looks like he is strong, looks like he'll never get sick, he'll never get tired, he'll never do these things, be mindful. Just as a wife will encourage her husband in the church. That's what I'm saying. Let's encourage our pastor. I'm saying this because this is the last time I get to preach for you for a little while. He'll be back Sunday. And he can't stop me because he's not here. I can really lay it out there. The brother he don't like compliments. But let me encourage you. When Brother Tony gets tired, he's been going through this, let's put that sacrifice in there, but let's make sure our sacrifice is the right way. It's not so much in the pretty hair, though we like pretty hair. Think of the ladies. And brothers, you can try all you want, it ain't gonna work. It's not in those things, but it's from your heart when you go on the night before. Whenever you dedicate yourself the night before, God, anoint me. Anoint me. When I was a doorman of a church at Kyoto Full Gospel, my first position in a church was a doorman. I loved it. I loved that position. I would fast because I was a doorman. I would pray. I say, God, anoint me. That way, when I'm a doorman of the church, when someone comes through there, God, anoint me in such a way that when I touch their hand, I say, God bless you. May there be an anointing that will come from me to that person, and I can change their attitude about the service. Amen. Help us to have that dedication on each one of us, on every before service, where we can dedicate. Lord, help me be anointed. That way I can be a part of encouragement to help my pastor. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you what, you talk about the hardest battle there is today. It's being a pastor. To hold that word straight. And to be willing to give you correction when you need it. Because nobody likes to correct their friends. I know, because I got children. I remember when my children were little, I'd tell them, I said, you do it again, you are getting a spanking. And I'd say it with authority. You do it again, one more time, you're getting a spanking. This would be like midday. And then you'd say, don't touch that button. You touch that button one more time, you're getting a whipping when we get home. They push that button. And I've got to follow through with it. Because if I don't follow through with that, I am a liar. And almost when we're almost home, they start saying, Daddy, they start to create that atmosphere. Kids just, I mean, it's amazing how they get caught up in that. They say, Daddy, I love you. I love when we go to church. I love to sing to Jesus. I love to do the. I love you, Daddy. And they'd start singing. They'd sing gospel songs. You'd be just amazed. They would think deep within their loins to pull out. Oh, he's gonna like this. Oh, how great thou art. I'm talking, they create a spirit, and I'm up there, and my wife looking at me through the side of her eye, and she knows I'm in that position. I'm going to have to correct it. I'm going to have to. In the midst of that, and you get home, and you got to follow through with it. And I literally spanked my kids, put them to bed, and went to my bedroom, my wife knows, and I'd cry like a baby because I had to whoop my children because I love them so much. And I say this, please, just from my heart. Just remember this. If the ministry ever has to correct you in some way, don't ever think that that minister, if he's ordained of God and he's led by the Lord, when he leaves, he does not walk away and say, boy, I sure tore into them. If he's a genuine minister, he'll go to his home and many times go to his bedroom and cry like a baby and say, God, I did not want to do that. I didn't want to have to say those things. But if the man of God does not lay the correction of the word, he's lying to you. He's got to tell you the truth. So with our pastor, let's pray that we can help him. Let's make his job easy. Amen. Let's all stand and ask our musicians. We got two of them tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's make his job easy. And children, let's make our parents' job easy. As children, listen, especially as teenagers, always remember this. If it's a leader and they're trying to correct you and they're led of the Lord and they're correcting you, don't ever take it as, boy, they're really puffed up and they're walking around thinking like they're somebody. If they're really led of the Lord, after they do that, their weapon's worse than yours was. Because they got to keep carrying it on the inside. Help us to be confident in the Lord. When you're in the midst of a service, and sometimes that preacher has to say things that are cutting, they hurt sometimes. In those times, be confident in the Lord. God's doing this because it's for my good. He's leading me. He's correcting me. He's taking me towards the Word. Because this is the only thing that's going to get us out of here. No opinions, no emotions, just this Word. Can you have a sister? Pray that your word would speak something inside their heart tonight, Lord, that they could
stand confident and be confident in saying, my sacrifice that I do, it's for the Lord. My confidence is, you're going to take care of me, Lord. You're the reason I live my life the way I do. Lord, may our motive and our desire, everything about us, be not because we're afraid to go in the great tribulation period. May it be not because we're afraid of what people will think about us. May it not be because I'm afraid of this or afraid of that. But Lord, may it be, I love you. I love you with all my heart, Lord. Lord, you loved us first. Whenever we looked unlovable, you loved us, Lord. Lord, whenever we looked like there was absolutely no hope, you saw something that we didn't see, Father. You saw something the world didn't see. And Lord, you don't get a writer's block. Lord, you see the end product of our life, and you know how to get us there, Lord. But Lord, in the midst of that time, between now and then, there'll be moments. There can be spells, Father, and you know this, Lord. For we have to have faith and say, I'm doing this because I love the Lord. That's my desire. That's my motive. Not fear, not because I'm afraid of missing the rapture, afraid of getting in trouble or getting hurt, but missing the rapture because I won't get to be with my Lord. Father, we love you. Touch each heart here tonight, Lord. Walk the aisle, knock on every heart, Lord, and give us a fresh opportunity, each one, Lord, to have a rededication, a recommitment, Lord. Lord God, that we will be confident in the position that we've been called to.